Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, final show before the season opener in Jacksonville. 2016 is finally going to kick off on Sunday afternoon. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah. I've been ready, I think, for at least 2 months now. You know, we get all these storylines, Mike, you know, whether it was Jordy Nelson coming back or Eddie Lacy trying to bounce back this season, Jared Cook getting signed. And it just seems like we're talking about it. Well, now it's time for some action. And I think that's probably the most exciting thing about week one of the season is finally seeing how all these plans and all these additions, how it plays out on an actual football field.
Yeah, and you're talking about a really, I think, intriguing matchup for week one with the Packers going into Jacksonville. Green Bay projected by a lot of analysts as a Super Bowl contender in the NFC, and the Jacksonville Jaguars pegged by many as a team on the rise in the AFC, trying to this is a week one game for a team like this where they can announce their presence with authority, as Nuke LaLoosh from Bull Durham might say, but an intriguing matchup and a rare one in the sense that the Packers have not opened a season against an AFC team since 2000 when Mike Sherman's first game as head coach was against the New York Jets. So this doesn't happen every year.
Seriously, 2000?
Yeah.
So you got to talk to our producer, Matt Arvin, to get like a little prompt on the bottom that says like today's like Spoff stats and info, the stat of the day from Mike Spoffer, 2000. I mean, yeah, I mean, when you think about it, it seems like it's been 16 years, and you could probably see it a little bit, too, with the matchups they've had with Chicago and San Francisco and all these other kind of common opponents they've had to start seasons.
Yeah.
This is definitely a curveball. When you look at the way that Jacksonville is built, this team is much different than the teams the Packers have faced in the last few years from Jacksonville. Certainly playing down in that atmosphere and in those conditions are going to be a lot different than the last game up here at Lambeau Field. But more than anything, I just think it's an exciting game because of how many different sort of budding stars that the Jaguars have, both offensively and defensively. I think that's probably one of the most intriguing storylines of this game is how the Packers kind of match up with a team and some really talented players that they haven't seen recently.
Yeah, and we've talked throughout the week about some of those personnel matchups. The Jaguars cornerbacks, Jalen Ramsey, the first-round pick, and Devon House, the former Packers cornerback, going up against Green Bay's receivers, and then you have Jacksonville's two-headed monster in the backfield with Chris Ivory and TJ Yeldon against the Packers run defense that, you know, will need to get through four quarters in the heat down there in Jacksonville. So a lot of interesting matchups on the personnel side. If you were to point to the one thing that's maybe the key to this game for Green Bay, what would you say?
I'd have to say, Mike, it comes down to being able to turn over the football. When you look at Blake Bortles, did a lot of nice things last year, 35 touchdown passes for a rookie, the amount of production that they had in their passing game. But he also did have 18 interceptions, which I believe led the NFL last season.
Yep.
You're going to see that with a young quarterback. That isn't uncommon. As we talked about with Dom Capers earlier this week, he expects to see a guy that's 1 year smarter, 1 year more experienced, and going to be more careful with the football. But at the same time, with how often they do go to the air and how many chances they take, you have to be able to really turn the tables on them. And the Packers have a secondary that's definitely able to do that with Sam Shields, two other ball-hawking second-year players in Quentin Rollins and Demaryius Randall. And to be honest with you, I think Clinton Dix is set up for a career year. So that, I think, is probably going to be the biggest key for the Packers, is being able to take advantage of those opportunities when they are presented to them.
Yeah, I think this is a secondary that is going to take some pride in taking the ball away. I think they look at that as a big focus. The interceptions last year were kind of spread out. Nobody in the regular season had more than three.
Right.
I don't know if that's necessarily going to be the case in 2016. When I look at this game, the key to the game, I'm going to look at it from a little different angle. I think time of possession is going to be big in this game because you're talking about playing in the 90-plus degree heat. This is not something the Packers do every day. They've only played two games in the Mike McCarthy era in the mid-80s. The 86-degree temperature was where the thermometer was at in Miami 2 years ago. And we saw the Packers in that game. The second half, they were starting to wilt a little bit. The defense gave up two long touchdown drives in the second half, fell behind, but then they had just enough left in the tank to drive for a field goal. They got one defensive stop that they needed, And then Aaron Rodgers drove them for the last second victory, but they also caught a break in there too with recovering a fumble.
Right.
When Rodgers had gotten sacked, the game could have ended right there.
TJ Lang, I think, was on top of that.
Yeah, TJ Lang dove on that amidst about four other Dolphins who looked like they had a better shot at it than he did. But I just don't think the Packers want this game to come down to the end where the heat and that home field advantage really, really tilts towards Jacksonville. The Packers need to control the time of possession and keep their defense off the field.
I agree 100%, because if you look at it, I think that's where if you can get off to a touchdown lead early on, or maybe two scores, really find a way to gain some separation and not comfort necessarily, but be able to really establish yourself early, and then making sure that you get the rotations down so that deep into the second quarter, getting into the fourth quarter, you have guys fresh and raring to go. I think something else that could be a factor is, much like in Miami 2 years ago, somebody that maybe isn't the hero stepping up, like Andrew Corliss did against the Dolphins, catching a really big pass, calling for the ball, basically, based on the matchup that he saw. I could see something like that happening, too, where I'm not going to make any predictions exactly who it is, but maybe somebody you don't expect coming up big.
Yeah, well, that can happen in week one, and maybe that sets the tone for a big year for somebody we haven't talked much about. But plenty more to talk about with this week one matchup on the horizon. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, continuing a little bit with the discussion of time of possession in this week one matchup in Jacksonville, best way for the Packers to accomplish that offensively is to run the football with Eddie Lacy. And based on what we saw in the preseason, I think the Packers are going to try to run the ball Sunday afternoon.
You know, I don't have a master's degree, and I'm obviously probably not as smart. I probably didn't score as high as you did on the ACT in the math section, but I did come up with some stats of my own. And something that really did stand out to me this preseason, the Packers ran the ball, designed runs more than any other time under Mike McCarthy, 123 times, just beating out 2007 when they had 121. And it may go back even further than that in terms of the last time they were that active. But Mike McCarthy set the tempo right at the start of the offseason program. The day the guys reported in April, he told them, we're going to run the ball, and we're going to run the ball better this year. That was probably the biggest hiccup with that team last year. As much as it hurt that they didn't have Jordy Nelson, they weren't able to consistently run the ball well enough. They had some nice games. Eddie Lacy stood out a few times, but in a week-to-week basis, that consistency wasn't there. They want to see that change coming into this season, and this is a great opponent to start off against, because I think Jacksonville will stress them in some ways, but Eddie Lacy, the way he's played so far in this camp, I think it's been impressive, and it'd be interesting to see if he can carry those successes over now at the start of the regular season.
Yeah, I think you have to like what you've seen from the Packers running the ball in the preseason. Now, as we know, preseason games, defenses are not game planning, this and that. And the Packers are making the switch with the number one offensive line now, with Lane Taylor stepping in for Josh Sitton at left guard. But Lacy looked as powerful and explosive as he's looked in a couple of years. And James Starks is no slouch either.
Nope.
You know, Starks was the better running back last year, minus the fumbles. He had some ball security issues last year. We didn't see any of that crop up in the preseason, fortunately. So I think this does set up well. Mike McCarthy has talked often about the 1-2 punch, about Eddie and James, and what they can do for Aaron Rodgers, what they can do for the offense in terms of keeping the defense honest, opening some things up in the passing game. And I think it starts right away in week one here in Jacksonville.
Absolutely. Now you add Jarrell Presley into that equation too, who's a little bit of a different type of back than both Lacy and Starks, and probably could contribute in some different ways on special teams with his body type. But as you mentioned with Starks, and I thought it was such an interesting point that Ben Sermons, the new running backs coach, said, really took a lot of time in talking with the media earlier this summer about exactly what went into James Starks and Eddie Lacy's fumble issues last year. A lot of times it just wasn't covering up the ball enough, just kind of leaving the arm out a little bit too much. When you have a lengthier running back with Starks, that's sometimes just the way a guy runs, because the way that they kind of move their arms out and keep their body swaying, that's how they're able to maintain balance when they're running
right,
and cutting.
Right.
You have to be cognizant of that, though, and I think that's something they really stressed this offseason with Sherman's, because, yeah, as much as you want to have a really consistent run game, you really can't turn over the football in that capacity. You need to be able to hold on to it. And with Eddie Lacy coming back this year, I know he's talked about it. Starks has discussed it. They have to be more consistent in how they hold on to the football. And if they do that, if they get back to the way they played in 2013 and 14, I don't think there's any reason why this run game can't get back to where they had it in that top 10 in the NFL.
Yeah, there's maybe nothing more deflating for an entire team for a sideline than having ball security issues. We saw it in the kickoff opener in Denver, Carolina right. against Denver. The Broncos are coming out with a brand new quarterback, Trevor Siemian from Northwestern. He's never thrown a pass in an NFL game. The opening drive, he's hitting some passes. CJ Anderson is hitting some creases. They're running the ball. They get all the way down close to the red zone. Then they put in a rookie running back, and on his very first carry, he coughs it up and Carolina takes over, and the Panthers drive the other way and take a 7-0 lead. Right. And you're sitting there going, well, the Broncos were driving the ball just as well as they did, but what did they do? They coughed it up. And those turnovers, you talked about the Packers needing to turn over Blake Bortles in this game. They're just such big momentum shifters, and they can be hard to recover from, especially when you're on the road.
Something that I've really learned from covering the NFL the last few years is just how important the field position game really is.
Yeah.
Whether it's punting, whether it is turning over the football, just making sure that you're on the plus side of that at all times, not only for how it sets up your offense and giving them a shorter field to work with, but also defensively the situations that you're putting them in. Dom Capers talks so often about adversity defense and making sure that you really step up in the times where there is some a turnover or something that doesn't go your way. And I think the Packers have done a pretty good job of that over the years, but at the same time, you don't want to stress them and put them in adverse situations. So getting back to the main crux of the matter, though, with Lacy, the way he ran this preseason, in addition to covering up the ball very well, I was just impressed by how explosive he looked at really the point of the getting past the line of scrimmage and advancing to the second level. He's a naturally violent runner to begin with,
right?
But it just seems like he has that explosive burst back. And when, if you look at the stats, I think it was 20 carries for 114 yards and a touchdown, over 5 yards per carry. That is really where you want to see Eddie Lacy. Maybe not 5 yards for the whole season, but in terms of getting off to the right start, I thought this was a big plus for him.
Yeah, I agree. I think it bodes well for what Mike McCarthy wants to do with this offense right from the get-go in 2016. Well, we'll head to a break from there and talk a little bit more big picture when we come back on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, let's take a look at the big picture a little bit. We talked last week about how the Teddy Bridgewater injury in Minnesota kind of changes the landscape in the NFC North heading into 2016. Do you think the Packers are the team to beat again in the NFC North?
I do. I think they are. And the way that, and this isn't just to say, oh, you know, the Packers and the way things, you know, have been, it's just going to continue to be that way, and they're this impenetrable force in the division. I think last year showed that there are some really talented teams coming up, and Minnesota's doing a lot of positive things right now. But when you look at the nucleus of the Packers, it's set, it's firm. Even with the advances that the Vikings have made before Bridgewater's injury, it's still a lot of young parts. In Green Bay, there's always that balance between experience and youth, and certainly the Packers are going to be among their youngest teams that they've had under McCarthy once again, but they have the entrenched veterans with Aaron Rodgers, Jordy Nelson, even defensively now with Clay Matthews in his eighth season into his career. So this is something that I think still gives them the advantage, is that they know each other. They've had those experiences. I know at times ignorance can be bliss when you're trying to make that unexpected run to a NFC title game or a Super Bowl, but I also think you can't go wrong with having a proven, established foundation. And that's something that Mike McCarthy and Ted Thompson have built in Green Bay.
Yeah, well, there's certainly no lack of hunger in the Packers locker room, even the players who were a part of the 2010
right.
run to the Super Bowl. It's been a long time. Clay Matthews talked in the locker room this week saying, boy, it feels like that was an eternity ago that the Packers were in the Super Bowl. This team is hungry to get back there. The first step is to win the NFC North and get as high a seed as you can in the playoffs. But it was interesting. Mike McCarthy had a kind of a side session with the beat reporters on Thursday here at Lambeau Field, and he was asked about losing that reign on the NFC North last year to the Vikings, and he said, hey, I don't mean to be flippant about it because, you know, I understand what it means for seeding and your position for the playoffs and whatnot, but I'm not losing any sleep over the fact that, you know, we didn't win the division because we don't hang division title banners around here. The goal is always higher than that. It's whether you win the division or not, it's about getting into the playoffs and making that run. And that's what this team is focused on. And a lot of the analysts and experts, you know, say what you will about them, but it's hard to find anybody who's not predicting either the Packers, the Cardinals, or the Panthers to go to the Super Bowl from the NFC. This team is a legitimate contender.
Can you name the 8 division champions in 2010? You know? I mean, like, that's the biggest key.
Chicago Bears were the NFC North champ.
And I'm sure the Chicago Bears, we can ask Julius Peppers that. I'm sure, right, he doesn't really wear that hat too often, right, around his household.
Yep.
It is about one thing. It's about winning a Super Bowl. As great as even making a Super Bowl and winning, you know, the Halas Trophy, I mean, whatever it might be, as much of an accomplishment as that is, it's all about taking home the Lombardi.
Yep.
And when you're at Mike McCarthy's, you know, 10 years into this now, Aaron Rodgers, as entrenched as long as he has been as a starting quarterback, they don't judge legacies based on division championships.
No, not at all.
It's all about what you do in the big game. And however you get into the playoffs, I'm sure the 2011 Milwaukee Brewers are really happy to have the NL, you know, Central Division title.
Yeah.
St. Louis Cardinals, as the wild card, were the World Series champions.
Right.
That's the only thing people care about. So I understand Mike McCarthy's goal and what he's saying. Some teams that haven't won a division title, that's what you shoot for. But once you achieve it, you're already on to the next one, and that's certainly what the Packers have their eyes fixed on.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, before we go to a break, let's take care of a little business here from one of our Packers Unscripted sponsors. Picture this, Wes. You and a friend are sitting VIP in plush leather recliners watching the Packers on the 50-yard line at Lambeau Field. Nice picture, isn't it?
It is.
Well, if you enter Cousin Subs' Best Seats in the House promotion, you and a guest could win a chance to kick back on the 50-yard line in style. 2 pairs of lucky Packers fans will be chosen prior to each home game for this VIP experience. Enter daily now through December 12th by completing the entry form and submitting. For complete rules and eligibility, go to packers.com/bestseats. Cousin Subs, we believe in better. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, final segment here before the season opener. Let's go back and forth a little bit about what will be the firsts for the Packers in 2016. Who do you think will catch Aaron Rodgers' first touchdown pass of the new season?
As poetic as it would be if it was Jordy Nelson, considering the year layoff, I'm going to go with another guy that didn't catch a touchdown pass last year, and that was Jared Cook. If you go back to this training camp and how he played, particularly when they got into their red zone periods, extremely effective, was difficult to cover, and caught everything that came his way. If Jared Cook is effective and can start off on a high note with the touchdown against the Jaguars, I think that bodes well for the Packers this season, and I'm putting him down. As far as my little cheat sheet here of being the first guy to catch a touchdown pass from Aaron Rodgers this season.
All right, and I'm going to go with Randall Cobb on that one again, as poetic as it might be to say Jordy Nelson. But Randall Cobb, coming off a season he was not happy with, he wasn't healthy. He rebuilt his body a little bit. You can see the dedication. You can hear the commitment in his voice to the 2016 season. I think Randall Cobb is the first recipient of a touchdown pass from Aaron Rodgers. Okay, on the defensive side, who gets the Packers' first interception of the year?
I'm going to go with Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. I've had 2 strong postseason runs in his first 2 seasons. I think he gets off on a fast start here to the beginning of his 3rd NFL season.
All right, well, I'm going to go with an even younger guy, and I'm going to say Demarius Randall. The way Dom Capers and Joe Witt moved Randle around in the preseason on the outside, in the slot, playing that star position that we've talked about in the defensive backfield. I think he's a ball hawk on the rise. I think he gets the first interception, and maybe it comes against Blake Bortles on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, I've just been so impressed with him, and you and I have talked about this in the past too, just his instincts coming into the NFL. I don't know if I've seen a guy that's just been such a ball hawk and at all times so aware of where the football is. And maybe, you know, go back to Casey Hayward in 2012, but just looking at his skill set, how he's able to high point a football, I've been so impressed by that. And I definitely can see it with the opportunities he's probably going to get throughout the course of this season.
Yeah, okay. On the pass rush side of things, who gets the first sack of 2016 for Green Bay?
It's the easy answer, but I'm going to go with Clay Matthews. Okay. He has a history for getting off to some fast starts, and there's probably no better way to christen his going back outside, rushing off the edge, than getting a sack against the Jaguars.
Yeah, and a lot of people probably think I'm going to counter with Julius Peppers, but I'm actually going to go outside the box a little and say Nick Perry. We've talked about his offseason being healthy for the first time. I think this sets up for a potentially big year for Nick Perry. I think he gets sack number one for Green Bay. Okay, looking at the season totals, after 16 games go by, and we're talking about these statistics for the Packers, who will lead Green Bay in touchdown receptions?
Well, this is where I'll use my Jordy Nelson card.
Okay.
Him and the thing that's fun about Nelson as a player, kind of a hybrid in how he's able to play inside, outside, so effective. I think the Packers are going to come up with some creative ways this year to use him and get him involved in the red zone.
Yeah, I agree, Nelson, though I wouldn't be shocked if it's Jared Cook. Leader in interceptions?
Sam Shields said he wants to finally eclipse 5 this year. I think he does it.
I would agree. I think Shields is going to lead this team in interceptions. How about sacks?
Let's go with Clay Matthews again. Okay. Career year for him.
All right. I will go with the future Hall of Famer, the surefire Hall of Famer in Julius Peppers. I think he'll lead this team in sacks. So, all right. Well, lots to talk about next week once we have a game in the books. So we'll call that a wrap on Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for watching, everybody. We'll see you next time.